Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. What's it like to be a boy growing up with a name like Critch? Comedian and actor Mark Critch knows for sure, and his road to grown-up forms the basis of Son of a Critch, a series hit in Canada and premiering tonight on the CW. Executive producer Andrew Barnsley joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Also ahead, Al Spack, our classic trivia question, and smile, you can see candid camera again. You'll learn how in our Show to Know segment. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. I present the iHeartRadio Podcast Network and other leading podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. 84 degrees at the top of the hour here in the New York area. Heat wave may be coming our way before the week is out. Wherever you are, we welcome you to the program all about TV's current and future. Great Emmy-winning guests coming your way in the hour ahead, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone and dial in, and when you do, this is the number you use, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio. We've also got our chat room in business, SimonApple04 by name. Go ahead and use it. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the program is on the air, you can be with others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio speaker, tune in screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Emmy and Golden Globe winning executive producer Andrew Barnsley will join us from Dallas, Texas, after these news notes. Elf, the creature created for the program, for the popular 1980s NBC sitcom by Paul Fusco, is too bound again. Fusco and Alf will show up this Saturday when Max Mepper Channel, that's the smart TV product distributed service launched early this summer and put together by Ryan Reynolds, the actor and entrepreneur, programs a marathon of Alf episodes. The series of maximum moments will be sprinkled throughout the marathon where Alf gets into new situations sponsored by Mint Mobile, HIMS, that's H-I-M-S, M-N-T-N, and Ring. There's also one for Fubo TV as well. Shout Studios co-produced the spots with Fusco. Fubo TV is expected to develop additional maximum moment opportunities, mixing content with commercial breaks. Now, quickies. On Patrol Live marks 100 episodes this Saturday night on Reels. The series launched 1 year ago this month, running on both Friday and Saturday nights. Comedy special Chris Fleming Hell comes to Peacock August 18th. Former CNBC White House correspondent Kayla Tausche has joined CNN in a similar senior capacity. And Cheddar News may go up for sale. Cable operator Altice USA, otherwise known as Optimum, which acquired the All News and Business News service 4 years ago for $200 million, has hired Goldman Sachs to explore a set of future options, sale included. And that is news notes for today. Tonight, the CW launches a primetime comedy block, the first in its history, and it's one that is consisted of all programming coming from Canada. Leading off that block is a series that has been on Canadian television for 2 seasons and has already been renewed for a third. It's called Son of a Critch, and it is based on the memoirs of the popular comedian actor Mark Critch. Joining us live, initially from Toronto, but now today in Dallas, Texas, is the executive producer of the series. He won the Emmy and the Golden Globe Award for producing A Little Thing, also originating from Canadian television, which first name I cannot say because we'd be off the air if we did, called Bleach Creek. It is a pleasure to welcome to this program Andrew Barnsley. Andrew, congratulations. Welcome to our program.
Hi, Simon. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
What's it like to know that tonight your series enters the United States and does so in a big way on the CW?
You know, as a Canadian producer, this is really something we dream about, and I can speak for the whole creative team, I feel, when I say that. It's we you know, develop these shows and produce these shows in Canada with the support of the Canadian broadcaster and our teams up there and our international distributor in this case, Lionsgate. And you just hope, you know, the pieces line up and eventually you're able to find a U.S. audience. And it feels like a huge milestone today, knowing that we're going to air with Son of a Critch at 8 p.m. on the CW. One thing that's quite interesting is on the show that you mentioned that we had the Emmy and the Golden Globe run with, I actually worked very closely with Brad Schwartz, who at the time was running Pop TV, and he's now at the CW. And, you know, we maintain a very close relationship, and As soon as Son of a Critch started going and started to find an audience in Canada, it very, very much became part of the conversations Brad and I would have regularly. And, you know, we've talked about how do we build something again? How do we build a show that can find and really connect with the U.S. audience? So today is the first day of testing that out, but here we are. We're excited to see what happens.
For those of you who don't know, Brad Smith, the president of programming at the CW, and we interviewed him when he was at Pop TV. He will be with us 2 weeks from today when we do our 16th anniversary episode from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, noon to Pacific, here on Blog Talk Radio, TuneIn Radio. He will be our opening guest for the first of our 2 hours. So more about that as we go along with today's episode. Again, that is 2 weeks from today, 3 to 5 Eastern, noon to 2 p.m. Pacific, here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. How did you and Mark Critch get together? What about his comedy had you and the other people involved feel this would make a great series?
Well, Mark really is one of the, if not the highest profile comedy voices in Canada. He's been the star of a long-running political satire series in Canada called This Hour at 22 Minutes. And he's a veteran there. He's known, you know, by families from coast to coast in the country. And also, you know, so he really had a lot of profile. There's a lot of interest from CBC, who is our commissioning broadcaster in Canada. And he and I are both in sort of the comedy circles in Canada. And, you know, as you can probably imagine, those aren't huge. And we were just able to connect on this. Mark had written a best-selling memoir called Son of a Critch about his youth and adolescence growing up in Newfoundland in the mid-1980s. And Newfoundland and Labrador is a province in eastern Canada. Newfoundland is an island in the North Atlantic. It has a very rich and frankly different history compared to the other provinces in Canada. And just so happens that when I was growing up, I spent a lot of time in Newfoundland in that era as well. My mom is from there. I have family there. And Mark and I were just able to connect on a handful of levels. And when it was presented to the CBC with Mark and Tim McAuliffe, who's another executive producer and showrunner on the series, it just started to sort of, you know, check so many of the boxes that the CBC had and what they were looking for. And we spent a year in development, getting scripts, you know, going in the direction they needed to go and reflecting the tone and sensibility that lived in Mark's memoir. And, you know, we put the pieces together and here we are.
And Son of a Critch will premiere tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time on your local CW station. It is the beginning of a brand new comedy block that will feature all Canadian comedy programs. Immediately after the two episodes of Son of a Critch happen at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time is the domestic premiere of Children Ruin Everything. If you haven't seen the show, it's a wonderful, wonderful treat. And coming up next week will be the premiere of Run the Burbs, another great Canadian hit series, all of which are getting their debut domestically through the CW. We're talking with Emmy and Golden Globe Award-winning producer Andrew Barnsley. He is the executive producer of this series. He joins us live from Dallas, Texas, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Happy you're along for the ride, too. Simon Appel, I'm with you here from Nueva York, where it is 85 degrees now as we get to quarter past the hour. And we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906. Or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up for our second half hour, we'll have our classic trivia question of the week. Second week that we are offering our question, you can get a AMC Network-provided Uber card and the Chicago Greatest Hits CD if you're first with the correct answer. Also, first time in a long while, our Show to Know segment. This time around, it's one of the all-time classics, arguably the first and one of the greatest reality shows ever, Candid Camera. Why are we showcasing it? Because now you can see full-length Candid Camera episodes of the 1960s and 70s on YouTube. In many cases, first time since their original run on CBS and syndication, respectively. More about that. And we'd love to hear your thoughts about Candid Camera, incidentally. That's in our second half hour. Andrew, once you got going, with Mark on putting this series together. What were some of the criteria you were, both of you were looking at in terms of who was going to play Mark as a child?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, it was an exhaustive search, frankly. It's something that was, we knew it was so important. You're looking for a young actor, in this case, a 12-year-old, to carry a series. And we searched across the country. We used casting directors in Canada, but we also broadened our search to look in at the United Kingdom. There is a lot of connectivity between Newfoundland and the United Kingdom, and we're just like, maybe there's something there. So through that process, we, you know, looked at a lot of young, talented actors, but we feel we just found a gem in Benjamin Evan Ainsworth. He had just come off of filming Pinocchio with directed by the Robert Zemeckis, his version, and with Tom Hanks. And, you know, we auditioned him. He connected with the material, and we were lucky enough to have Benjamin join us in our cast in the lead role.
Rick Webb, our super fan from Philadelphia, just joined the chat room. Thanks for coming aboard, Rick. If you have a question or comment, put it in the room or make the call, 646-652-2906. If there was one or two things that Mark wanted to convey about growing up in his family in this series, what would they be? What are sort of like the ongoing themes that he wanted to showcase to the audience in a fun way?
Yeah, this is really a coming-of-age story, and it's about Mark. You know, Mark, as I mentioned, has built a life and had a career where he's become one of the top comedy voices in Canada, and it's that origin story. So it's him, you know, finding humor in often the discomfort of being a young man, entering junior high, first loves, new friends, and all sort of in the context of Newfoundland, which is a, you know, a unique setting into itself. So it's really, you know, what Mark has done, and this is in his memoirs, what he does on his series, This Hour is 22 Minutes, and he does in Son of a Critch, is really finding the humor in the ordinary. So putting a microscope, putting his family under a microscope and seeing sort of the character and the humor that comes out of that, looking at his classmates and looking at the environment that he grew up in and really how it led to who he's become.
Now, Mark in this series plays Mike, who is the father of Mark. How much time did Mark and Benjamin spend together before you started rolling the cameras, where he would give him advice about, here's how I grew up, here's how to play me at your age, and so on?
Yeah. Mark and Benjamin have developed a very close relationship, and you can understand why. When somebody is playing a version of yourself, you want to make sure that a lot of those nuances are being hit and understanding the dynamics of the family and the environment he lived in. But at the same time, Mark did give... made sure Benjamin had enough freedom to you know, find his own voice in his character and his identity. And I think between, you know, Benjamin and Mark and Tim McAuliffe, they've really found the right balance. And we know that the character of Jan Mark, played by Benjamin, has really resonated with audiences, and we do get a lot of feedback on that performance and how authentic it is. And that really has so much to do with that relationship between Benjamin and Mark and how the creative team has steered Benjamin in that direction. But also, Benjamin, when he joined us, he was 12 years old, such a professional, knew the scripts inside and out, was really dedicated to making sure that the role came across to satisfy the entire team.
And what was it like for Mark to play his father?
Well, obviously I can't answer that, but I can tell you, you know, it's something that, you know, from my perspective and from my conversations with Mark, it's something that, you know, he took very, very seriously. And this is his dad, and this is somebody who, you know, shaped Mark's life and was such a enormous influence and presence as, you know, as a young man and growing up. It's, I can tell you, he takes it very seriously. He too, you know, does it with a sense of humor, but there's great love attached to that. And, you know, it's really, this is Mark's life and this is Mark's family, and it's done with, you know, care and respect and authenticity, you know, and just sort of seeing Mark, you know, step into that role, it's really quite special. And I know he's had moments where he's walked the sets, and, you know, there are props there that were part of his home as a young man growing up. And so there is that deep, deep personal connection to the role and to the character and to the entire experience.
One member of the cast that is going to come as a very big surprise for people watching tonight on the CW is Malcolm McDowell. From A Clockwork Orange or Blue Thunder, we know him from so many different film and TV roles over the decades. And here he is in a comedy series of this kind playing Patrick Pop Critch. How did you get him?
Well, I can tell you that the short answer to this is really the scripts that Mark Critch and Tim McAuliffe wrote during development. When we were working with the UK casting directors, they suggested that we get, you know, the series in front of Malcolm, and we all just thought it was an incredible long shot. Malcolm is a legend. He's just, you know, everything he does is a masterclass in acting. So we felt it was a long shot, but we got the casting directors got the script in front of Malcolm, and he was blown away. He was blown away by the heart and the humor and the era and the region, and really the conversation started so positively, and instantly we all, both producers and creators and Malcolm and his team, just wanted to figure out a way to make this work, and we did, and we're so grateful to have him in the cast.
In a moment, we're going to talk about the role of comedy on Canadian television and how it has evolved over the years because of shows like Son of a Critch and Children and Everything and Run the Burbs and others. There is now a very exciting reputation of all kinds of comedy emerging from Canada and finally getting its shot on U.S. television, including tonight's premiere of Son of a Critch, which is on the CW tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, half-hour episodes from 8 to 9, and then half-hour episodes from then on starting next week. Andrew Barnsley is the executive producer of the series. He joins us live from Dallas, Texas this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Happy you're here with both of us. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. 85 degrees coming toward the bottom of the hour. And for questions or comments, many minutes with Andrew, make that call, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. First of three episodes we're doing this week, and coming your way on Friday, we're going to have the head of a very popular place where TV shows are getting made in Dallas called Southside Studios. The head of that organization, Stephen Demier, will be one of our guests on Friday. We'll also be on Thursday as well. Both days, Thursday and Friday, same time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. That's 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And once again, 2 weeks from today, Brad Schwartz, the president performing at the CW, former head of Pop TV, he will be our lead guest for our special two-hour 16th anniversary edition, 3 to 5 Eastern, noon to 2 Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio, as well as on TomorrowBeTelevised.com, our website from On Podium, and a favorite podcast location near you. One of the nice things, Andrew, about what the CW is doing, not only with your show, with others, it's really showing how and what kind of, you know, organization we're now seeing for Canadian-based comedies. I remember back in the 70s, you had shows like Kings of Kensington, then we had The Kids in the Hall, we had Strange Brew, SCTV came out, the original syndicated show came out of Canada, And now we're seeing all these sitcom-y shows like Son of a Critch, Children and Everything, Run the Burbs, and others come into play. And it's now at the point where Canadian comedy can stand on its own with comedy shows from the U.S., Britain, everybody, every place else.
Yeah, well, thank you for saying that, and thanks for noticing. It's pretty exciting to be a part of that wave. You know, it's probably the third wave, as you mentioned, of Canadian comedy that's finding audiences internationally. And it just has to do with the level of talent that is in Canada. It has to do with real support from our broadcasting partners in Canada, but also our international partners recognizing that there are stories to be told. There is a sense of humor and a sensibility that can travel and that can find audiences in the U.S. and internationally. So I'm very proud of, you know, not just the work, you know, our team has done to move the needle, but also, you know, like I mentioned, it's a very, very small and close-knit sort of comedy community in Canada, but the work that other producers and other creators have done. And, you know, we're all kind of in this together, and we want to see our colleagues and friends succeed and thrive. And yeah, it's a lot of fun and really exciting to be a part of it and to have conversations like this where we're on a platform like this and you're it's being acknowledged that the work that's been done to build Canadian comedy is being noticed.
And we have covered, by the way, on this program over our run, shows like Letterkenny, Corner Bar, and other comedies coming out of Canada. And, of course, Bleeps Creek. And I got to ask about that.
Yes.
What was the experience? Was anyone prepared for – because Daniel Levy was on our show several years ago. Anyone prepared for how big a success that would be, not only in Canada, the United States, the Emmys, the gold, all the awards, as well as all around the world?
No, I mean, the answer is no. I think we're all still pinching ourselves when we look back at what happened in 2020. We started that show in 2024. It was, you know, we're shooting it in Toronto. We had a crew that we knew, but there was no way to really ever predict the trajectory it would have. And there was just so many things that came together. That was a cast, you know, it was obviously anchored by Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara, Chris Elliott, but Daniel certainly found his voice and his presence very quickly. And the rest of the cast just really stepped up, and we captured lightning in a bottle on that one. But like I said, there was no way to know or predict what kind of a run it would have. You know, hoping we can do another version of that with Son of a Critch, but that was a very special show and a very special time.
And again, it showcased people like Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara, who came out of SCTV, the initial syndicated run from Canada, along with people like Dave Thomas and the late John Candy, et cetera. I mean, so many great talents of comedy have come out from Canada of King Pooh shows, or have gone from comedy to drama. Al Waxman, who was a star of Kings of Kensington, of course, they became known as the police chief on Cagney and Lacey.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, it just has really large tentacles that extend sort of around the world. And even last year, season two of Son of a Critch, there's a performance by Mark McKinney from Kids in the Hall in that. So you'll have to look forward to that as well. But it's just, you know, we're self-aware as Canadians. We know what we've done as in that space, and it's just nice to stay connected to it and to celebrate our work together.
Yeah. But it seems now with this group of shows like Sun and Children and Everything and Run the Burbs and so forth, that there's a special sense, you just call it heart. Some might call it sensibility.
Yeah.
That seems to be making that connection in such a way that U.S. audiences, British audiences, et cetera, can find it and enjoy it.
It's something I think, you know, we're aware of, and I think other Canadian creators are aware of, just that importance of heart and connectivity and authenticity. And that's really the feedback we've received a lot on Son of the Critch, is that it's family viewing. It connects with grandparents and grandchildren. And we've heard a lot that it's the one show that people will gather the family together for, to watch together. And I think that just has a lot to do with that balance of comedy and character and heart. And I know that that's a tough balance to strike, but for some reason that seems to have landed with Canadian creators and Canadian producers. It's become part of our sensibility.
Of the episodes we're going to get on the CW starting tonight, is there one or two that you find, I think, the audience is going to be particularly moved by or laughing out loud or just enjoying?
It's hard to pick. It's hard to pick a favorite. But one thing I can say is I think audiences will learn a lot about the province of Newfoundland and how special the place is. It's a historically, it was a province that relied heavily on the fisheries and the fishing industry, and it had to pivot from that in the 80s. And the province did some things, and the population did some things to try and recalibrate to make sure that the province was moving forward. So there is one episode that will give a shine a very bright light on kind of the creativity that Newfoundlanders came up with. And without giving too much away, it's an episode about government subsidized cucumbers, and that is based on fact. So you'll have to watch for that one.
You have a third season in the bag. When will you start filming it?
We don't really have any details on production yet. We have interest and we have orders, but we're waiting to make an announcement when we can.
Mm-hmm. I know that when Brad Smith was talking about the shows that were coming on the CW this fall, when they had their press conference during what we call upfront season in mid-May, that the CW is interested in co-producing shows such as yours.
Correct. Yeah, well, Brad's Canadian, and Brad, is certainly very intimate with the talent in Canada, and that's where he comes from, and he's had a lot of experience working with Canadian talent both on screen and off. And he's proud to wave the Canadian flag, and he's proud to look at different business models that make sense both for the CW, but also for producers and Canadian broadcasters. So we're proud of Brad. We love to have a deep relationship with him, and that he's turning a very big and important eye north of the U.S.-Canada border to see what we're up to and what opportunities there are to work together.
And before you go, Andrew, what's next while you wait for the word on season three of this series? Any other projects you're working on?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we're always, my production company is always working on development, figuring out what what the marketplace is looking for. Our specialty is really half-hour comedy, so that's something that we're known for. We know that there are audiences around the world for what we're working on. And we're working with some profile talents, including some of the names that you mentioned earlier. So we feel the time is now for Canadian comedy, so expect to see more of that from us going forward.
The CW's new comedy block begins tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time with the premiere of Son of a Critch, which is a big hit in Canada, and now I believe will be a big hit here in the U.S. of A. Check your local where the CW is available in the area on cable and satellite here in New York, WPX-TV, Channel 11. And if you want more details about the show, go to CWTV.com. That's CWTV.com. And also starting tonight will be the run of another hit Canadian series, Children Ruin Everything, at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, followed 1 week later by the premiere of a third popular hit from Canada, Run the Bird. Andrew Barnes is the executive producer of Son of a Kitch. Congratulations on having this show finally appear in the U.S. on the CW and on the success you've had so far. Hopefully many more seasons to come. It's been a great pleasure having you on. And by the way, late but still good, congratulations on the wonderful success you and everybody had with Bleach Creek, winning the Emmy, winning the Golden Globe, and a whole lot of great things.
Simon, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. And I appreciate you getting the word out there. Thank you.
It is a great pleasure, Andrew. Take care. All the greatest. Enjoy tonight.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Andrew Barnsley from Son of a Critch joining us live from Dallas, Texas. When we come back, classic trivia question of the week and our show to know, Smile, Candid Camera is back. And we'll tell you how. All after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com. Together, reaching nearly 90 million listeners around the world every month and growing. One of BTR's longest-running music shows is on tonight. That's the Hilltop Radio Show. It's a unique musical experience and happens tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. The Hilltop Radio Show, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Don't forget, Best BTR, always available 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised on this Monday afternoon. First of three episodes coming your way this week. Simon Happ, I'm with you live from New Haven, York, 85 degrees bottom of the hour. Love to hear from you about our show to know, the return of Candid Camera. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name, our very good superfan friend Rick Webb on the chat room line from Philly. Before we get to Candid Camera, our show to know, it's time for our classic trivia question. Second week we're offering this question. And by the way, I want to congratulate one of our previous guests, and regulars, too, in the area of journalism and punditry, the Queen's Chronicle columnist Lloyd Carroll, who was on our show some time back. He got the answer to the question. Unfortunately, he's not eligible because he's a previous guest. You are, though. So here's the question coming up, and if you're first with the correct answer, you will win an AMC Networks-provided Uber card and a wonderful Chicago Greatest Hits CD with such super tunes as If You Leave Me Now, Saturday in the Park, Does Anybody Really Know What Time It Is, Song for You, 25 to 64, and much, much more. Here's the question. Name one of two 1950s TV drama series starring Reed Hadley, R-E-E-D-H-A-D-L-E-Y. One of the shows is a police procedural, which actually was nominated for an Emmy Award one of the years it was on the air, and the second was a legal procedural. So name one of those two series starring Reed Hadley. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04 at yahoo.com. It's simonapple04 at yahoo.com. Don't forget, when you email, enclose your name and your mailing address. So if you win, we get the prize out to you as soon as possible. And if we don't get a winner by the end of today, we will post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook. And yes, X, new name for Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum and X, formerly known as Twitter, we think, for a lot of people, at UBC Simon TWBT. One more time, here's the question. Name one of two 1950s television drama series starring Reed Hadley. Remember, in order to win, you got to get in the area and play. So get in and play today, and maybe you'll be our next winner sooner than later. So do so, and all the very best. Now it's time for a regular feature we haven't done in a while. We're going to do it today. It's called The Show to Know. It's when we highlight a program that we think you should watch. Either one of two things. One, the show is not well marketed, promoted, or publicized. Or two, it's a classic television series that's getting a new shot at audiences through YouTube or other means. And it's the latter we're going to be talking about today. You can make the case that perhaps the first great reality show, and one of the greatest, which has lasted for decades, is Candid Camera. It was the brainchild of a brilliant man named Alan Funt. And originally, it didn't start out as a television program. In the summer of 1947, Funt created a summer series called Candid Microphone. The idea was simple. Put microphones in unique places and have people being caught by the microphone in the act of being themselves in unusual situations. Like, for example, going to a restaurant and ordering food, and you get the food, like a sandwich, and you can't take the sandwich off the plate. How and who would you be? Well, that was what Canon Microphone was all about. Canon Microphone premiered on ABC in the summer of 1947, and it ran for over a year. Later on, it would run for another summer run on CBS in 1950. But by that time, Canon Microphone has become Candid Camera, where this time, rather than microphones, it was hidden cameras placed in different places across the United States to catch people in very unusual situations, some of which were contributed or suggested by viewers. Now, Candid Camera has had, it's one of the few television series that has had a run in every decade since it started. Here's the road so far, and you got to stay with me here because it's a long, long road. So Canon Camera premiered on television on ABC in 1948, August of 1948, and it ran for three seasons. And along the way, it moved from ABC to NBC. When that run ended in 1951, it immediately went into a half-hour film series for syndication, which ended in 1954. Then it became a feature on various programs, including The Tonight Show starring Jack Parr on NBC and The Gary Moore Show in prime time on CBS. In 1960, CBS decided to bring Candid Camera back as a half-hour black-and-white series, originally hosted with fun by that 1950s TV and radio superstar Arthur Godfrey. Godfrey and Funt did not get along, even though the ratings were solid. So Godfrey left the show in the fall of 1961 and was replaced by Gary Moore's sidekick, Gerard Kirby, who would stay on for most of the remainder of the run. The show lasted seven seasons, Sunday nights at 10 o'clock on CBS, right before What's My Line. And in 1966, the show switched from black and white to color, hosted by former I've Got a Secret panelist, Bess Meyerson. Then the show went off for quite some time until 1974, when CBS decided to put together a 25th anniversary special of Candid Camera Highlights hosted by Alan Funt. Because of the success of that special and because of the primetime access rule where you had half-hour shows being presented Monday through Fridays in syndication from 7 to 8 p.m. local time, Funt decided to bring Candid Camera back in color in a new series from 1974 to 1979 in syndication. The show originated from New York, as it had done during the CBS 60s run, hosted by John Bartholomew Tucker. For some reason, the show moved location to Nashville. And, as it turned out, the show would then run with co-hosts like Phyllis George and Joanne Flew. So in 1979, that syndication run ended. Candid Camera then got back to CBS in the form of half-hour and hour special. In 1991, King World, the syndicators of Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy, and so many other shows at the time, Oprah Winfrey Show too, decided, let's bring Candid Camera back as a five-day-a-week show for daytime or prime access time or late night, hosted by comedian and actor Dom DeLuise. The show did not do very well. And Alan Funt, in his autobiography called Candidly, said, you know what? I originally agreed to do this. In retrospect, I regret it. DeLuise was a terrible host. The show did not work. The gags were not great. It just did not fly. So, in syndication, it only ran 1 year. However, CBS once again picked it up for primetime specials, this time hosted or co-hosted by Alan and his son, Peter Funt. I, by the way, have known Peter since the 1980s when he did a number of different cable projects as an independent producer. In 1996, CBS brought Candid Camera back, this time as a full-hour weekly series. The show ran from 1996 to 2004. Midway through, it went from CBS to PAX TV. It is right now the longest-running weekly version of Candid Camera in its history. And finally, in 2014, TV Land brought Candid Camera back for 10 one-hour programs for one season, co-hosted by Peter Funt and Mayim Bialik, now, of course, the host of various versions of Jeopardy, just won a Primetime Emmy nomination for hosting. And that is the last that anyone has seen of Candid Camera as a weekly series. For now, I'll explain that in a moment. Throughout its run, Candid Camera was highlighted by wonderfully funny, unique, very, very, very interesting films of people caught in the act, as Funt would like to say, of being themselves. And the gags were always interesting. They weren't super embarrassing. They were just nice and neat. They always were predicated on the line, what if? For example, what if there was a traffic light hanging above a sidewalk? And you're walking down the sidewalk, And if the light is red, you got to stop. Remember, the light is on the sidewalk, not on the street. Or you go into one of those horn and hard art automat type places, and you're about to get, let's say, a cup of coffee. You see the coffee, it's about ready to pull out the coffee, and coffee pulls back. Or you're at a desk in business, you're working, and as you close one drawer, another drawer comes out all the way through, and it keeps on going and going. Or what if there was a shopping cart that would only go in one direction when you pushed it? You try to do the cart straight through an alleyway in a grocery store or supermarket and would curve either to the right or the left. These were always gags that, in many cases, I said, were submitted by viewers, and they were always based on the what if. It wasn't, you know, super spectacular special effects, some of which, by the way, involved stars like Woody Allen and TV personalities at the time, especially the 1960s version. And it was also the show that got comedian Sandy Flagg to fame. She was a regular in terms of being involved in these candid camera sketches. But candid camera was more than just the hidden camera. It also showcased interesting people, like the traffic cop in the middle of the street, waving traffic in and out to classical music or pop music. And very musical was the cop. And there was also the candid kids. I've always thought that Alan Funt and Art Linkletter shared the greatest gift on television of dealing with kids and having them to do themselves. And out of the mouth of those babes would come so many gems that would make you laugh, make you smile. Alan Funt did that a lot on Candid Camera, especially in the 60s and 70s versions. And they were always a highlight. And I'm happy to say that Peter Funt carried on the tradition very well in his hosting, co-hosting of Candid Camera shows when his father passed away. Now, when Alan Funt came to my school, American University, in the mid-1970s, he was very concerned that CBS or some other party had wiped out the videotapes of his shows from the 60s and the candid camera footage for those shows. Well, thank God, after that appearance, we learned that, no, that did not happen. And that's great news for you. Because until recently, you could watch scenes from Candid Camera, both the 60 CBS episodes and the 70 syndication shows, in little bits, resting like roughly 2 to 6 minutes, 7 minutes each. A couple of weeks ago, thanks to somebody, I don't know if it was Peter Funt or somebody associated with Alan's family, whatever, Candid Camera, the full-length episodes, can now be seen on YouTube. In their entirety, in their glorious black and white or color, commercial free from the CBS or the syndicated commercials. And they look as great and wonderful as ever, absolutely pristine. I'm sure they're digitally remixed, and they look fantastic. The gags come off great. The people come off great. By the way, one thing that people don't know is that people who appeared on Candid Camera, unaware of what was going on, they gave their permission to Funt and Associates to be on the show, to have their experiences presented to you, the general audience. So it's wonderful to see that at long last, we can all enjoy a full episode, plenty of full episodes of Candid Camera on YouTube, both from the 1960s CBS version, all seasons, and the 1970s syndicated version, all seasons. And hopefully, if the response is great, that YouTube or somebody will be able to bring back the CBS episodes, PAX TV episodes from the late 1990s, early 21st century, as well as the TV Land episodes from 2014. And that's not all. A few months ago, Village Roadshow, the production company headed by former Sony Pictures TV head Steve Moscow, announced that they were developing a new version of Candid Camera, hosted by Taraji P. Henson. Now, if you're a veteran Candid Camera fan, you've got to really love the news. I think Taraji would make a very good host or co-host. And I really hope that if it does go into production, that everybody will remember what made Candid Camera great. It was the charm of those gags. It was catching those people in the act of being themselves, but not doing it with super glamorous special effects, just, you know, everyday life situations. Just a little off kilter. And bring back the candid kids. And bring back those unique personalities that we were able to see doing their thing for all of us. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that Canada Camera comes back. And I think that Village Roadshow could definitely do it. So hopefully, not too far down the road, Canada Camera will keep on with its tradition of showcasing as a weekly series at least once every decade, as it's done since the late 1940s. I'd love to hear what you think about Canada Camera. If any of you are fans of the show, you saw it during the 60s or 70s or in other versions, give us a call right now, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway, or catch us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio. Or get into our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Once again, this is the first of three episodes we are doing this week. We'll be back with you on Thursday and Friday at our usual start time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. And coming away on Friday, you know, our guest, Andrew Barnsley, came from Dallas, Texas. Usually he's based in Toronto. And in Dallas, they have a really wonderful studio complex called Southside. Well, we will have the head of that studio, Stephen Demier, will be with us. We'll talk about the projects that are happening, the impact of the writers and actors strike on Southside Studios, and where he hopes to take that venture in the future. That's Stephen Demier from Southside Studios. He will join us live, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, this Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised. And remember, 2 weeks from today, we will have our 16th anniversary episode. Yes, time is flying. We will be marking 16 years as the audio program podcast that covers TV's current and future on a weekly basis. We will be doing, as we did last year, a two-hour special. Each hour will have one executive guest, and that guest will be with us for the full hour. And as we heard, you may have heard, if you didn't catch the first half hour, the president of programming at the CW and the former head of Pop TV that brought One Day at a Time and Bleach Creek to U.S. shores, Brad Schwartz, will join us for the first hour. We're very close, by the way, to announcing the second hour guest, and we hope on Thursday we will bring that news to you. So be with us 2 weeks from today for our special live 60th anniversary episode. By the way, both of our guests, they will take your phone calls. They will take your chat room reactions. They'll talk about their individual networks or services, where they're going, and also general thoughts about the current and future state of television, including the impact that the writer's strike and the actor's strike are having or could have down the road. So that's our 16th anniversary episode of Tomorrow Be Televised. 2 weeks from today, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern, noon to 2 p.m. Pacific. Tell your friends, spread the word, and be with us. Brad Schwartz, head of programming for the CW, our opening hour guest, second hour guest we're very close to having, and hopefully on Thursday we will let you know who that guest is. And if we get more reaction to guest possibilities, we may do a second two-hour episode in the same format, either that Tuesday or the Friday of that week to get our year 17 off to an even bigger start. So stay tuned for news. We'll keep you posted. All right. Again, if there's anyone out there who wants to comment about Candid Camera as our show to know and want to give us your mementos of watching that show or hearing that's now back on YouTube, you can see it in its full, wonderful black and white and color, give us that call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04. My name, our super fan, Rick Webb, is from Philadelphia, and he's in the chat room ready. So, Rick, if you want to get involved, give us the call or use the chat room and put your thoughts down there. Also, I want to let you know that on Wednesday, we are back on Sports News Wire. I'll be appearing on that daily sports news information hour on Wednesday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. Among the topics we'll probably talk about, you may have heard the news that ESPN is talking to the National Football League, Major League Baseball, and the NBA about becoming strategic partners in ESPN as it tries to move from cable and satellite off those distribution means to smart TV sets, smart device, and multi-channel bundles full-time. We'll also talk about the early results of the U.S. Women's World Cup in both English and Spanish. English on Fox, Spanish on Telemundo and Peacock. Had a chance to switch back and forth on the game on Friday night, the opening game with the U.S. women's team against Vietnam, that they won rather handily, 3-0. Incidentally, the next game featuring the U.S. will be in prime time again, 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific time on Fox and Telemundo, and it will be the USA versus their second-place team in the last Women's World Cup, the Netherlands. Should be a very, very good game. Incidentally, I'm going to make a prediction now. Sophia Smith, who scored two of the three goals in the Friday night game against Vietnam, she may be well on her way to becoming the new face of soccer in the United States, men's or women's. She is a dynamite personality. I've seen the commercials with her for different organizations. She has that great smile, wonderful personality, and she is a great player. And she was a rookie last year with the National Women's Soccer League, and she is doing very, very well so far in these Olympics. She will have a big role to play if the USA is going to three-peat with the women's team down in Australia and New Zealand. Once again, check the schedule for the games happening on both Universo and Telemundo and Peacock in Spanish. And, of course, Fox Sports and FS1, Fox Sports 1 and Fox broadcast in English. Watch out for them. Many of the games, by the way, are being held overnight or early morning, so you got to check your local listings for where the games are and where you find them. And, of course, for more details about the games, you go to Fox or FoxSports.com in English and Telemundo.com or Telemundo.com in Spanish. So make sure that you get the opportunity to do that. All right. I'm going to give you one more minute to see if anybody has anything to say about Candid Camera back on the air through YouTube. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Incidentally, want to remind you, because we had Son of a Critch from the CW, which is premiering tonight, earlier this month, we had Sherry Elwood, the creator executive producer of another Canadian series that is currently on the CW, the dramedy Moonshine, which is also a long-running hit in Canada. So if you want to catch that episode that we had Sherry on, along with Zach Arnold, the former associate producer of Cobra Kai, and Russ Feynman, the executive producer of Netflix's popular The Lincoln Lawyer, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, go to our podcast site, and you will find it. And we've got a call. Hello, you're on Tomorrow to Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Simon, it's Rick Webb calling from Philadelphia.
Rick, welcome in. Good to have you. So what do you think about Candid Camera coming back through YouTube?
Oh, I love it. I love it. And growing up, I used to watch like the black and white reruns as well. Used to watch them with my grandfather for some reason. He really loved that show. So, we'd sit there. It seemed like anything in black and white he wanted me to watch. I think he thought color ruined television. So.
Well, you're going to love the black and white. When Alan Funt, as I said, was at American University, that's the school where I went to in the mid-1970s, he was very, very concerned about the fact that it was his understanding that CBS had wiped the tapes of not only the black and white episodes from 60 to 67, but also a lot of the footage that was in those episodes and others that for segments that were not used for one reason or another. So he was very, very deeply concerned that he had lost all the black and white footage. And that's why, the only color footage he had was from the final season on CBS, 66, 67, the Beth Meyerson co-hosted. But also, don't forget at the time, he was also making Candid Camera movies. What Do You Say to a Naked Lady, and Money Talks. That was his only, What Do You Say to a Naked Lady was the only X-rated show or X-rated film. And he'd also done some Candid Camera stuff for Playboy. It's called The Candid Camera, which was a weekly series for the Playboy channel in the early 1980s. But it's nice to know that that did not happen, and now we get the chance to see a really wonderful show. And again, you can make the case it's the first and one of the best reality shows ever made.
Yeah, absolutely. And for some reason, I've never really figured it out why, especially since you just had a comedy show on as your previous guest, why like the real life things that aren't even sometimes supposed to be comedy are way funnier than planned and written with actors comedy. Like it's just a conundrum that I've never figured out that some elderly woman, getting duped on TV is just so much funnier than even Jim Carrey with a well-written comedy. So I think that I've especially loved, and I sort of have a question for you, is like, what is your favorite derivative of that? Like there was Jamie Kennedy had his Jamie Kennedy experiment, and there was Punk with Ashton Kutcher. And when I was going to UCLA, I used to watch a lot of Mexican TV out there. that they did a lot of candid camera stuff. But a lot of time it was kind of mean, like stuff that you could never get away with in America. And that's some stuff I'd love to rewatch as well. But I'm wondering, like, what your favorite of all of that was.
I remember also Totally Hidden Video that ran for like 3 seasons with Steve Skrobin on Fox. It was sort of their derivative of Candid Camera. I really don't have a favorite because I think Candid Camera had a sensibility and a charm that and a soul that the others could not copy. Because the others that I saw would usually try to have these like way out situations. Whether it's Candid Camera, they took like a simple little what if idea. Like what if there was a traffic light on the sidewalk and you had to pay attention to it? Or what if you couldn't pry a can off a shelf in a supermarket? It was like very simple things. Or today I was watching a Candid Camera rerun where they had a man who had a cast on his leg, and another person is coming to help him take either his suitcases or groceries or bags. And then they're walking down the street, and then all of a sudden the man unbuckles the cast and gives the cast to the person that's helping him. While he walks off with his, his bags or his briefcases, and then the fun is to see the reaction to, you mean this guy can really walk? That's the fun. That's when. And then of course you have those wonderful segments with Alan Funn talking directly to kids. Those the Candy Kid segments are priceless, black and white or color. Like I said, out of the mouth of babes, he was able to get gems time after time, and I think that's what made Candy Camera great. And I hope that when Village Roadshow does try to remake this program with Taraji P. Henson as the host, that they do not forget that. That's the key to Candid Camera. Little, simple situations, not big explosive ones, not out to super embarrass people, but just to catch them as they deal with the slightly off-kilter.
Absolutely. Well, I'll definitely be checking it out. And I've already seen some of the rerun clips on, like Instagram Reels or Facebook Reels or something like that. I guess it gets recommended to me because I like comedy like that. So I'm already starting to see it trickle out, and I'll definitely be checking out more of it. So thank
Great.
You.
Rick, I got to run. Take care. Out. Thanks so much for getting on.
Okay, you too. Thanks, Simon.
You're welcome. Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And came to the end of today's program. Want to catch up on episodes you missed? Go to our homepage, blogbookradio.com/televised. Go to our website, tomorrowbetelevised.com, or all of our podcast sites. Remember to join me Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, for Sports Newswire on Sports Grid Network. And then we're back here Thursday and Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Remember, the views expressed in this program are those of the participants. They are not those of Blog Talk Radio, those of this program. Andy Toe is B-Charge General Manager, Dave Seidelberg, Head of Content. Website certified by On Podium. The Internet's Great Podcast Outlook. Scott Vegas is our web coordinator. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your Monday. Back on Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, speaker, tune in radio, and all of our podcasts and web destinations. Whatever you're doing to you now and then, make it safe and make it great. And remember, don't be surprised if sometime, someplace, somewhere where you least expect it, as Alan Funk would say, someone might step up to you down the road and say, smile. You're on Candid Camera. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.